Our reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. And we begin at the 24th verse. This is about the coming of Jesus. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as a branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that it is summer. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today I have a children's event, and we don't have any children. Well, we're all children of God. But anyway, I brought a figgy pudding. I did not make this, but it is a figgy pudding. And it's not the most delicious thing. If you've ever had figgy pudding, I came from an English background. My grandmother was 100% English, so we had what we called plum pudding. We couldn't afford figgy pudding, but we had plum pudding, and then there's this nice little sauce I ordered. It's called brandy butter. Now, she would never have brandy, but this is a figgy pudding, and in today's gospel, we're going to hear about this figgy pudding. Every culture has a figgy pudding. Germans have stolen. If you have fruitcake, it's not my favorite, but if you have fruitcake for Christmas, that's kind of an offtake of the old figgy pudding. So there's one in every culture, but the figgy pudding I mention it because today there's a lesson that Jesus tells us about the fig tree, and this figgy pudding has a song that goes with it, and it relates back to Jesus' story about the fig tree. So we're going to hear about that. This one does actually have figs in it and some other things, so we're going to hear about that as we hear the sermon today. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The great reversal. The fig tree, if you know anything about horticulture, the fig tree produces fruit, then it produces its leaves, kind of contrary, kind of the great reversal in nature. On the Mount of Olives, now get where he is, he's on the Mount of Olives with olive trees. Jesus uses the fig tree as a message to us, along with the stars, the moon, and the forces of our creation. The great reversal. Jesus uses the fig as the first coming in spring. The growth of leaves after that first harvest of figs. And then a second coming, another harvest of that fruit in late summer, August or September. In between the first fruit of the tree and the second coming of the fruit is that time of leaves or growing. It's such a wonderful, wonderful story he has here. Learning in creation. Or as Jesus says today, from that fig tree, learn its lesson. So what's the big deal about Jesus and the fig tree story and learning a lesson? The fig tree mentioned by Christ is mentioned in Matthew and Luke and in today's gospel. This is our first Sunday in Mark because we're in a new church here, in the season of Advent, lighting our candle of hope. Well, it's kind of a gardener's lesson on fruit-bearing trees. I'm not a horticulturist, but I certainly learned a lot about fig trees in this lesson. The fig tree is in the mulberry family. That mulberry family of trees, and the other name in the Older Testament for that tree is the sycamore tree. We all know about that sycamore tree from Zacchaeus' fame when he climbed up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus more clearly. And Buddhists venerate that same exact tree, and they call it a bow tree. The Hindus venerate it as a religious tree, and they call it the banyan tree. All of them famous in their cultures and ancient stories and spiritually connected. It is conjectured that before Adam and Eve used fig tree leaves for skimpy clothes that they wore, remember the little fig leaves? They ate from an unnamed forbidden fruit. I always thought it was the pomegranate. I knew it wasn't the apple because they didn't have apples there. So I always thought it was pomegranate. But there is some conjecture that it was indeed a fig that they ate from that caused all their woes and started us on this horrendous journey as regular people. Christ noted the significance in the tree that bears fruit before leaves. That's really kind of unusual, fruit before leaves. And then bears a second set of fruit, synonymous with Jesus' second coming. Lesson learned, right? Some have said that the fig tree is perhaps the oldest tree in creation. Hence, Adam and Eve probably did eat a fig, and has a great spiritual dimension to it. By some, it is considered the tree from heaven. To sit under one's own fig tree was an expression that was used biblically for meaning plenty and peace. So if you sat under your own fig tree, you were content and you had plenty and you had this peace from God. In 1 Kings, in Zechariah, and in Micah 4, verse 4, this is said, "For they shall sit under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." So all through the biblical literature, we find how significant that fig tree is, and we learn its lesson, as Jesus says today. And remember that whole weird allegory in Judges about trees choosing certain different trees had certain symbols, and some trees were describing the 12 tribes of Israel. A weird story out of Judges. So if one of your traditions is bringing some figgy pudding to your celebration, you are bringing part of the oldest spiritual tree in the world. Such symbolism. Most of us probably know it as plum pudding now. Figs came to the British Isles years and years ago from the Holy Land. They started in the Holy Land, then Africa, Spain, France, and France to England. That wonderful shade tree didn't get to America until the Spanish missionaries came in the 1700s to California. Now in England, home of my Graham Bess's ancestors, the Sunday before Advent, last Sunday, the 22nd of November, is known as Stirrup Sunday in the British Isles. Not for stirring up figgy pudding, which I kind of thought it would be. Oh no, it's for stirring up one's faith, getting ready for Advent like we are today. And I remember my Grand Bess, with whom I grew up, she made this, she called it Christmas pudding. And she would explain that it was kind of like what they sing in that figgy pudding song. She said it had some religious bent to it, but she could never explain what it was. I discovered that the pudding, the authentic pudding, original pudding, contained, get this, all symbolism, 13 ingredients, one for Jesus and 12 for the disciples. So there was a religious aspect to eating that you were gathering with Jesus and the disciples at table when you ate figgy pudding. We had a modified figgy pudding. We used plums, probably because they were cheaper, with absolutely no brandy, no rum. That one has rum in it, by the way, the one I brought. No rum, as my Bess was a teetotaler, and no alcohol at all in the house. So we didn't, I don't know what she used for the syrup, but it probably was some kind of a butter mix. It was good though. She came from a family in England. Her grandfather his name was Thomas Oldfield, and he had been an auctioneer in Sheffield, England. So this whole story of figs, it is biblical indeed, and the pudding, an English take on it. Every culture, as I said, has that. When carolers would go around jolly old England singing, you know, they would have those madrigals go around singing, and the madrigals were from poor classes usually. Often they were from poor classes, and they'd go to rich houses. Figgy pudding was not something that they could never have because it was a rich person's food. So when they went around, they'd sing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." They'd sing that. And then the second verse is, "Bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding." And then the next verse, "We won't go until we get some." What a bunch of people. It was all kind of in joking, in jest, that they wouldn't go until they got some. But they went to these rich houses, and that's what was the very special meal. And then the last verse, which we've kind of lost over the years. I remember when I was in grade school at Barstow School, we used to go over to Luther Hospital. We'd walk over there and sing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas." And we sang all these verses. And the last one was, "For we all like figgy pudding." And most people don't like figgy pudding. "We all like figgy pudding." And then with all this good cheer, a song from the 1500s in England. Fig trees grow in large temperate zones. They have to have water access, and the trees are godsends for animals in hot countries who seek shade. These trees symbolize long life through all times, peace and prosperity. Then there's this another great reversal. The fig tree made that, remember that wee little guy, he probably sang it in Sunday school, "Wee little Zacchaeus," and that he became a towering human being when he climbed up in the sycamore tree, and Jesus saw him, and he saw Jesus more clearly, all symbolic. He gained the pleasure of Christ's company through that sycamore or fig tree, the great reversal in a tree, a second chance for Zacchaeus, a second coming for us. Although we live most of our lives, you might say, in denial of death, as Ernest Becker wrote in his book by the same name in 1985, along with another book, which is really good, called Escape from Evil, Christ comes to us in this Advent season to prepare us for the big Advent, the second fruit bearing, that second fruit bearing for us in a growing season. Fruit, in that order, fruit, leaves, fruit. The second coming. In our world today, denial often keeps us from confronting the facts, doesn't it? Take COVID-19, which has devastated communities throughout the world, and even our own community here in Chippewa Falls and in Eau Claire and Wisconsin. It took a while, but it came. Well, I read a story by Gene Lyons, he's an editorial writer, about a person who got the virus, and he was in a South Dakota emergency room. South Dakota was hit really hard because they didn't do any precautions for a while. I don't know if they are yet. Anyway, there was a man in a South Dakota emergency room, and the nurse spoke sorrowfully of treating patients who railed at her with their dying breaths. They were upset. They were mad at her and the world. One man told her COVID doesn't actually exist. And then she said their last dying words are, "This can't be happening to me. It's not real." Nurse Jody Doring of South Dakota noted that when they should be doing FaceTime with their families for the last time, they were filled with anger, hatred, and she said, I might add, denial of death. He never wore a mask, she said, because he thought it was a plot against his freedom. And ironically, he died with no freedom at all attached to a ventilator. How do most of us prepare for that first coming or even the second coming? We've become pretty skilled at beginning early in all the wrong ways. Some stores, usually every year, not so much this year, but some stores had Jesus and the couple celebrated in those precious moments, ornaments, out in July. This year, Black Fridays are every Friday. I'm kind of amused. You wake up on a Friday and it's Black Friday back in October for the sales. In real creation with sun, moon, and stars and flowering trees, our denial deflects the figs. Figs of all sorts and trees of all sorts being cut down for ever more development and our own selfishness. We are not in a season of planting, but we are in a new season of a rose air blooming, Jesus coming anew. We might ask, do we live the whole year clinging to Christmas carols, ornaments, keeping baby Jesus in the googly-eyed precious moments figurine all year? The gospel would tell us no. Today's gospel from Mark would have us let Jesus grow up, have us face our own denial of the rest of life beyond precious moments and those statues, where people are preparing for Christ coming in a cloud, a second coming. This time, as I mentioned, the last time I was here, perhaps you remember that one, I preached kind of on the same thing. It was the end times, and I said, Jesus would maybe this time come as a Native American woman or a young American or African American child or someone else that we haven't even thought about yet. We know to expect a second coming. We just don't know how the fruit of the womb will show itself this next time. This first candle of hope for Hope Sunday in Advent declares a time of waking up to our denials. Advent prepares us for the real coming of Jesus Christ to birth in us anew, in our hearts and our spirits, even amidst a pandemic. Advent brings us to a fig tree belief that the fruit of faith, Jesus comes first, then we grow those leaves of faith throughout the world and bring others into Jesus' circumference. And then we prepare for that second late season of bearing fruit, Jesus coming again. We know society has steamrolled over Christ's little Advent light growing each week in Advent. We hardly celebrate Advent except in the church. Advent guides us from womb to tomb. Both caves, the early creche was really a cave that Jesus was birthed in. The cave of birth was a dark place that bore the divine light of eternal life, and the cave of burial ended up being again, a divine light, that Christmas sacred place and that Easter sacred place. But we are people of Jesus' fig tree and God's great reversal. We, as practicing Christians, prod out of step with the whole world that denies Mark's words of Christ birthing anew in a quiet little space. In a space of humility and caressing love, of awe, of silence in Christ's presence. God's signal on Christmas Day is the beginning of the 12 days of Christmas that end on January 6th, Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, as they called it in New Mexico, where I lived. The great reversal, as Christ is always revealed in surprising ways and signs. We have remembered a mother not married, not more than 14 years old, birthing a Savior. The great reversal from what we expected of our King. Christ reaches out from a cave to minister for 3 years, dies for 3 days, and makes a promised surprising return from a cave to bring light and life to the world. What a great reversal. One can only look up, wait, watch, and speculate on what Christ will do, how Christ will come, and who Christ will reach in this world. Christ's tree is full of green leaves, and it is ready to bear a second fruit from that holy branch of David. And Jesus said, "Learn from the fig tree." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.